97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Morning Rock Show here on 97.1 FM Talk. I'm Mark Cox. That is Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman in here along with Susan Thomas, and she's got you covered on your way into work this morning. I jokingly say that because I won Real or Fake on Monday, so I have gotten the pleasure of scheduling the music for the bumps this morning, other than the intro there, obviously, off the top. So,
oh, you did pick.
Hopefully you will enjoy that.
Yeah, you liked the fray.
You picked that also.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sammy Hagar song.
I didn't pick the fray.
No, you picked the Sammy Hagar song.
I did. And you my intro?
Yes.
I've had that forever.
Who actually likes... I don't mind the fray nationally.
There are a lot of people that
I'm
don't like it.
I'm not saying that it's the best
and
ever.
And there are some people that love it, too.
But some people loathe it on this show. Like listeners.
I have picked up on that, for sure. We've had a lot going on today. We're still going to get to Jim Carafano and Congressman Eric Burleson. That's coming up in the next hour, and we'll get an update from them on what's going on in D.C. This fallout we were talking about earlier from Doge, man, some great interview last night with Elon Musk. It's about time. Like, the left would tell you that it's Elon Musk and his band of 20-year-olds who are running around shutting down government and stealing your personal information and all this hogwash that the media repeats as if it's true, and it's nonsense. You saw last night a room full of people, including Elon Musk and a rocket scientist who's on his team, who've been looking at ways to eliminate waste and fraud. And some of the examples are shocking. Can I just tell you that some of the ways your taxpayer dollars that you scrimp and work so hard to save a little bit of cash on the side so you can pay your bills or have money in an emergency, and they're throwing away $1 billion on a survey you could have done on SurveyMonkey for $10,000. That's just one example of what Elon pointed out last night. I mean, it's that egregious. People are enriching themselves on your tax dollars, and that's what they're so afraid of.
Yeah.
That's absolutely what they're so afraid of. Then Kim is going, yeah, because her mouth's full of popcorn right now, I think. Is it popcorn?
No, it's not popcorn.
Oh, okay.
Carl's wife got me an ice cream sandwich.
Oh, nice.
And I didn't want it to melt.
Thank you, Nicole Middleman.
So thank you, Nicole.
The other big news we talked about earlier, of course, is the Cards won yesterday. That was cool after the rain delay. Glad to see Nolan Arenado hitting a home run.
And a welcome reception.
Yeah. Well, he got a nice reception. The DeWitts and John Mozeliak, not so much so. There was a little bit of booing going on at the stadium when they came out. And that's just because people, I don't think... have high expectations for this team, but I'm glad they won yesterday. It was fantastic. The Blues won last night. They're still rolling.
Eight in a row.
On the road. I thought, Carl, I thought it was a home game.
Nope.
Carl says, I have to work tonight. I have to go to Enterprise. And there's a hockey game. And I'm like, well, of course you have to work if there's a Blues hockey game. But it wasn't the Blues at Enterprise last night.
It's the Professional Women's Hockey League. The game is tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Okay. And they spent a lot of time working with young girls yesterday?
Yes, they did. They had a scrimmage. The Ottawa team scrimmaged yesterday and then did a clinic for 10 through 12-year-old girls.
Oh, nice.
And then the Boston team is doing the exact same thing today.
Okay. All right. So hopefully some of you are planning on taking that in. You know what's coming here in early April is the Frozen Four again.
Yes.
It's been a while.
10th and 12th.
So the final four men's collegiate hockey teams will be facing off at Enterprise Center.
Yes.
I've applied for media credential for that.
You should.
So we can cover it for the show here.
Fantastic.
Well, I mean, you're going to see some great hockey, but it's just always such a great environment. Anytime you get to go to a final four of anything, it's fantastic.
I didn't know it was called the Frozen Four. When I thought it was something to do with Frozen, but I'm like, there's only two Frozen.
Yes, it's Elsa.
Elsa is going to be appearing.
I've never even seen Frozen in its entirety, but that's what came to my mind.
Well, kudos to the Sports Commission for bringing that to town. That is fantastic.
I will be off the day before that because they are practicing. The four teams will be practicing at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I can't mysteriously get over there within 1 minute.
Wow. That's true. That's a problem.
Carl, do better.
They need you to play motivational music while they skate?
Yeah, what do you have to do while they skate?
I don't know that yet.
Ah, okay.
I will do whatever asked.
All right, so moving right along, we got lots to get to for you this morning. Carl, let's get straight to the shortlist.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
I can assure you one thing. We're going to make sure that we inflict as much pain as possible to the American people.
Yeah, how about that guy? Talk about somebody walking around with a target on his back. That is Doug Ford. That's the Ontario premier up in Canada who came out yesterday and said he's going to do everything in his power to hurt the American people as much as he can because the person he really hates is Donald Trump.
It's the people pushing the propaganda that caused that guy to do it. Those are the real villains here. And we're going to go after them.
Yeah. Elon Musk talking about the prosecutions that will happen for these idiots who are attacking and burning Teslas all over the country and spray painting them. Pam Bondi said yesterday there will be no plea deals when we catch up with these people.
How the Democrat Party, they're floundering. They don't stand for anything other than rage and hatred. They hate Donald Trump.
That's Ted Cruz. Of course, he was talking about Jasmine Crockett, who said somebody needs to bash him over the head, Ted Cruz. He goes, I've never met this woman. I don't know who she is, but I'm certainly proud she's now the face of the Democratic Party.
Descendants of slaves are calling out St. Louis University after plans for a public apology fell through.
This comes after a group of slave descendants took issue with the school's message.
We don't want to be a photo op.
There you go. Wow. What a way to step in it there, St. Louis University. We've been following this story for a couple years now. I remember when the story first broke and they felt that some guilt, some lingering guilt that at some point years ago, the university may have employed slaves to build the school.
Yep.
And now, as a result of that, they've got to apologize for whatever role they might have played. Someone tell me what good that does anyone.
Well, did you hear about the sign they posted on the church doors where this event was supposed to be held?
I did not.
The sign read, and I quote, "It became clear that we need to continue the work of building relationships with descendants before we are ready to proceed with a formal event." And they also signaled that just because they've postponed this event does not mean that they've ended their efforts toward reconciliation.
Okay. So in other words, I'm going to read between the lines there. The groups that we're trying to placate have made such outrageous demands on us that we don't think there's any way we can accommodate them. So we're going to continue to have talks until we reach an agreement of some sort.
That sounds about right.
Don't you think? That's got to be what's happened.
But anything they do won't be enough.
It's never enough.
Yeah.
The apology is never enough. It's got to be
millions.
Now you've got to dip into that endowment you have,
yes,
St. Louis University, and start handing us cash.
And the president is on his way out, and he just punted.
Yeah, he punted to the next person.
Next guy.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Even if you gave, let's say you did pull money from the endowment and you gave them thousands of dollars, they'd probably make some statement like, well, this is a step in the right direction. Nothing will ever take away the pain that was caused knowing our descendants were enslaved and forced to build some of these buildings. Like, it's like we were talking about earlier. It's never enough.
It's never enough. And, you know, my question is, where does it end? That would be my question. Where does the whole idea of your ancestor hurt my ancestor, so you owe me money, where does that end? Because there's not a country in the world that wasn't at some point taken over by one of its neighbors. So could you go back through Ancestry.com and find some evidence of a relative that got booted out of a country at some point, and then go back and hold protests and demand, you know, try to blackmail them into giving you a cash reward for that?
I guess so.
It's not going to happen. It's just not based in reality. First of all, how do you even prove who those people were?
Mm-hmm.
How do you prove you're a direct descendant of somebody who suffered at the hands of a building being put up on the campus of St. Louis University? Or anywhere else.
What's the end goal here? To have SLU feel the pain of having to give up money, or to see them try to humble
it's
themselves,
be about cash.
Say I'm sorry?
They were clearly willing to go on bended knee and say, mm-hmm, I'm sorry, but at some point somebody came to them and said, that's not good enough. you got to pay up.
Well, you know what?
I think that's where it stopped here.
I remember in elementary school, some boy called me Snaggletooth. My teeth used to go over each other in the front.
Go back.
And I would like some money for that because I'm hurt. And you know what? Not only that, it's not enough just to apologize to me and give me money. I want Easton to get money and any kids Easton has. I mean, this should go for generations because their mom has been scarred. I remember it being called Snaggletooth.
It should be generational for
you, Kim.
It
should be generational. Thank you.
I agree. I'm fully in support of that. Said no one ever. All right, coming up. Speaking of this, Donald Trump did something fantastic yesterday evening. Like, I got the dispatch from the communications office after I was already at home getting ready to go to bed last night. So I'm going to read that to you when we come back. Remember them trying to erase history? Donald Trump is trying to reverse a whole lot of that crap in this executive order. We'll talk about it in just a minute. All right, Carl, the original environmentalist.
He'll tell you all about
Uncle
it.
Ted Nugent. You know what this song's called, Kim?
No.
It's called The Great White Buffalo. It's about the destruction of the buffalo herds by Western pioneers when they first went out there and killed all the buffalo.
Which Ted believes was a mistake.
Of course it is. He talks about the Indian, the Native Americans. They honored the herd. They only took what they needed for food or a roof. And the Westerners went out and killed them all just to make their wallets fat. Fantastic song. Great message in there. Way to go, Uncle Ted. All right. One of my favorites, by the way. Hey, you know, here's what the White House did yesterday, right? We're talking about all of this slavery reparations and all this other nonsense that they pitch all the time. Here's what executive order signed yesterday, 327 of 2025, restoring truth and sanity to American history. I love this. Listen to what they wrote here about what's going on and what President Trump is trying to do here. He's talking about the Biden administration here. Rather than fostering unity and a deeper understanding of our shared past, there's been a widespread effort to rewrite history, and that deepens societal divides and fosters a sense of national shame, disregarding the progress America's made and the ideals that continue to inspire millions around the globe. The prior administration advanced this corrosive ideology. And then they start to give examples of it. At Independence Hall in Philadelphia, where, of course, they delivered the document that said all men are created equal, the prior administration sponsored training by an organization that advocates dismantling Western foundations and interrogating institutional racism, and pressured park rangers that their racial identity could dictate how they convey history to visiting Americans. That's at Independence Hall in Washington, D.C. At the Smithsonian Institution in recent years, they've come under the influence of a divisive, race-centered ideology pushed upon them by none other than the Biden administration, and they're going to fix all that. He talks about some examples of it in here where they've taught people at the Smithsonian to put up displays showing how the United States used race to establish and maintain systems of power, privilege, and disenfranchisement. I mean, honestly, it's sickening. Here's what they're doing. They're going to save the institution by prohibiting expenditure on exhibits or programs that degrade shared American values, divide America based on race, or promote programs or ideologies inconsistent with federal law and policies. And it gets better. Subsection 4, restoring truth to American history. The Secretary of the Interior shall determine whether since January 1st of 2020, public monuments, memorials, statues, markers, or other properties have been removed, and those monuments will be restored, according to this executive order signed by the White House March 27th of 2025.
What does that mean? Would that be the monuments on federal property? Because that doesn't mean that the Christopher Columbus statue in Tower Grove Park will be forced to be put back up, right?
It affects what he can affect, which is federal property.
Yeah.
So there were idiots, of course, who wanted to
strip the names from mountains, right? They Mount Denali and all this other stuff. They wanted to change all of that. The previous administration. He's going to go back and affect what he can.
Good.
We're not going to be able to return statues to Forest Park and Columbus statues that these idiots tore down
and dismantled. And they'd tear them down again, even if they put them back up. They'd take them right back down. Is it King Louis who's at... is it the top of Art Hill?
Art Hill, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember at Channel 4, I was doing a story about this, and I would ask people, you know, do you think the statues should come down? And then they'd say yes. I'd say, well, why? Like, well, racist. Oh, can you give me an example? I mean, no one had examples. It's None. Just the party line of, well, like, racist.
No idea right. what they're angry about. They're just bad. Orange man bad. That's pretty much their argument these days, if you boil it down. All right, we're going to go get to our friend Dom Savino coming up. He's filling in for Nicole Murray. We'll get a check of business from him and maybe talk a little basketball. And then we'll get to End of the News with Ethan at about 6:45. Stay tuned. Everybody needs a little rock and roll from Led Zeppelin to get him started on a Friday morning, don't you think, Kim?
I'm turning down my headphones.
Oh, stop.
I really am.
One of the greatest bands in rock history right here. Robert Plant for you on a Friday morning. How could it get any better than that?
Well, let me. How much time do you have, Mark?
Nice try. That's okay. Well, in fact, we're out of time because we need to check business, don't we, Carl? All right, Dom Savino joining us this morning for the vacationing Nicole Murray off to parts unknown, actually Florida. So, how are you?
I'm good. I needed that too. That picked me up on a Friday morning.
Thank you.
A little jolt. Thank you for that.
You don't. Nobody needs, elevator music in the morning. You got to wake up.
No, that's what Panera Bread is for.
Oh yeah, they do have that elevator music.
Very sleepy. You go there. You have a warm soup. You start to doze off a little bit. At least that's me.
Dom, we know you're not from St. Louis because you called it Panera. So we here call it.
Breadco.
Breadco. St. Louis Breadco.
Oh, that's
like
right.
Yeah, Panera is like, yeah, we don't like to call it
because
that.
Because it originated in St. Louis.
Right.
Yeah. The other question I have to ask is, when you get a bagel, have you ever asked for it to be cut like bread?
Oh, no. No, no, no. Oh, St. Louis sliced through the middle.
Do you know what we're talking about? Is that
a
thing?
Bread cut?
Okay.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, it's sliced just like you would a loaf of bread, right?
Yeah, yeah, like little individual pieces versus cut in half.
Yeah. You guys enjoy bagels sliced like that?
Oh yeah.
I don't. I don't ever get mine done that way. But
is it girly?
What's that?
Is it girly?
No, I don't know. I've
just a
I've
dumb
gotten...
way to eat a bagel.
No, it's like little bite-sized pieces.
Like I've gotten their sourdough before, and had one of their Asiago big rolls and had that bread sliced because you can eat it with meals and all
like
that
a
stuff.
Sandwich.
So it's a little easier. Yeah, it's just nice.
Boy, for me, slice it through the middle. Put too much cream cheese on there or too much butter, and then I'm good to go.
Oh, that taste. Now good. We're all talking. It always comes back to food on the morning show, doesn't it? Inevitably. So, Dom, I know that we've talked about this before. In your other job, you also do sports broadcasting, I believe still for Rutgers, right?
That is correct,
correct. So is your bracket busted yet?
Thankfully, no, because Rutgers, unfortunately, is not in the bracket, as you know. Miles outside of the bracket this year.
Well, that helps.
Was a surprise, yes. Doing better than expected, I think in part because there haven't really been Cinderellas, unfortunately.
That's true. There have been a few upsets, but not really Cinderellas. Like all my Final Four teams, I think, are still in it at this point. So I'm a big Kentucky fan, and they play tonight. And if we can beat Tennessee for the third time this season, I'm going to be a happy man.
Oh, man. You know what they always say. I'm sure you do.
I know.
It's tough to beat a team three times.
I know. Well, we'll see what happens. What's going on in business?
Yeah, let's get to the business stuff. We'll start on Wall Street. Futures are lower following a second straight down day. Yesterday, tariff anxieties dragged on stocks, with the S&P falling 18 points, or one-third of 1%. This morning, investors await the latest reading of the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, due in about an hour. NASA says it's nearing certification for Boeing's Starliner spacecraft to perform another crewed flight by the start of next year. That's after Starliner's inaugural mission to the International Space Station was marred by a faulty propulsion system. We all know how that went. The system fault caused Starliner's debut crewed mission to stretch from 8 days to 9 months. Nippon Steel is reportedly considering investing as much as $7 billion to upgrade U.S. Steel's facilities if the Japanese steelmaker wins approval for its proposed $14 billion takeover. That's more than double Nippon's original pledge to rebuild the aging assets of the U.S. steelmaker. Analysts at Goldman Sachs warn car buyers should be ready for sticker shock when considering a new car. They estimate the administration's 25% tariff on foreign-made cars and car parts could raise the price of a new ride by $5,000 to $15,000 this year. You may have noticed this if you were at Busch Stadium yesterday to watch an opening day victory. The Cardinals have launched a multi-year partnership with Bet365. It's the team's first mobile sports betting partner. And it comes as sports gambling in Missouri is expected to start this fall after voters narrowly passed a state constitutional amendment last year. And I do not like this. Your morning cup of joe is about to get more expensive. Prominent global roasters like Nestle, Peet's, and Lavazza are in talks with retailers about passing on the rising cost of coffee beans to consumers. Raw Arabica coffee plants are in short supply after years of bad weather. It means coffee prices at the supermarket could climb as much as 25%.
Wow. Yeah. And that's got nothing to do with the tariffs, just the fact that coffee beans are costing more?
That's correct. So a lot of these plants are grown overseas, as you know, Africa or South America.
Yeah.
Bad weather there turns into less crops and less coffee. Maybe more Led Zeppelin in replacement.
Oh,
I could do that.
Well, I know everyone gets irritated when these prices go up at the grocery store. I do too. But I can't blame the companies for passing them off, or at least most of that cost off on the consumer. I mean, what are they going to do? Just have it eat
well,
into their, you know what I mean?
Well, if they're a publicly traded company, they won't have any choice because their board is going to force them to do that, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to eat it. The CEOs aren't going to eat it.
You know what? Fine. We'll just dip into our profit margin. We just really want to be a loving company, goodwill for the community. So, yeah.
Dom, I have a question about the story you reported on the Cardinals and this Bet 365.
Yeah.
Are you suggesting that, like, I haven't been over to the stadium yet this year. Do they have, like, an office over there? You said you would notice it if you were at the stadium.
Yes. So they took over. There's that all-inclusive, I believe it's in right field, the all-inclusive area.
Yeah.
They took that over. They've got the naming rights on that. And there's signage across Busch Stadium now as part of this partnership.
But
especially because this is the first sports betting partner, the Cardinals are making a big deal out of it.
I get it.
No surprise.
I get it. But you can't. You can't actually bet on it yet because they haven't started that yet in Missouri, right?
Correct. Sports gambling
right.
will start later this year. We actually have it in New Jersey. We've had it for a few years, and it is wall to wall.
I'm sure. They're running ads on this radio station and everywhere, even though it's not, I mean, only a couple of companies are it's not full blown yet in Missouri. Should be by maybe August, I think.
Yeah. So it's coming. And especially for me as a man in my 20s, I feel like I get ads for it every 5 seconds if I open my phone or open the mailbox.
I'm sure. Absolutely. Well, Dom, we appreciate you, my friend. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Likewise. You guys, too.
Yep. Dom Savino there.
I saw a plane pulling a banner for one of them yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's coming. I guess they got to start promoting it.
They keep saying it's coming. I mean, the last I had heard, it was it August?
Don't get me started. I don't have any problem with sports betting. I really don't. If you're an adult and you choose to go spend your money that way, that's fine. And maybe you'll win big. Good luck to you. Occasionally, I buy a lottery ticket. So there's really no difference, right?
$500 million.
Except you might try to argue if you're an addicted sports gambler that for you it's skill and for me it would just be complete luck if I happen to win that. But the house always wins. Mm-hmm. I don't have any problem with sport. I've been to casinos. My parents won a big jackpot at a casino years ago.
Did they really?
I don't have any problem with people gambling. I just have a problem with how the campaign was run to pass it. They lied about the money it would produce for schools. Schools won't see hardly any money out of it this year at all, and they certainly won't see the $100 million even next year or the year after that or the year after that that we were promised in ads, with Ozzie Smith in them telling you it's going to mean $100 million for your schools. They lied about that, and they used millions of dollars from out of state to fund those ads to get this passed. If sports betting's a great idea, just let people vote. Do you want sports betting or not? Why do you have to lie about what it's going to do? That still sticks in my craw. I'm sorry. I have no problem with sports betting. I don't do it myself. It's not something I'm passionate about.
Wait, don't you have a bracket?
But I'm not going and betting up and down on who's going to score
over 10 points in an NBA game. I'm just not interested in things like that. I told you I don't have anything against it. It's just not something I'm passionate about.
I'm too cheap.
I just wish they hadn't lied.
Yeah, I agree. It is frustrating that they lied about it because it just comes off sketchy. Why do you have to lie about it? If it's not right. A bad thing, why are you so scared to just tell the truth? I thought I heard an ad on the radio. It wasn't even really an ad. It was just thanking everybody, like, all the money you are going to help give schools. We just want to thank you so much, which was weird considering it's not even in place yet.
It's true. It's true. So next week, probably Tuesday, I'm told at this point, we're going to get Missouri House Speaker John Patterson on the show.
Nice.
Been working that out with his comms person because he is promising that they're going to bring another ballot initiative on abortion to the Senate floor and vote on it before the end of session. So it's the end of March. They have until the first week or so of May, or maybe the second week of May, when the session wraps up. These are always the big issues that the Democrats threaten to filibuster. When you have a supermajority, that's easy to overcome if you've got the cojones to do it. So we'll talk to the speaker about all of that and maybe what his other priorities are before the end of the session. I'm hoping Tuesday we'll get to John Patterson on to discuss that because oftentimes they are traveling on Mondays.
And a new SAPA bill passed yesterday.
Yes, it did.
It passed the House.
It passed the House, and it's still got to get over to the Senate for sure. All right, coming up, we'll get to another news with Ethan next hour. Congressman Eric Burleson, anxious to get his take on what's going on up there in D.C. with all of the complete winning on the part of Doge, but we'll get his thoughts on the whole signal controversy the media continues to remind us about daily. We'll be right back.
Happening.
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news,
it looks like Netflix is set to release the first live-action Scooby-Doo series. It's going to offer an original story for the beloved Mystery Inc. gang. It's an 8-episode series. It's going to reimagine how Shaggy, Daphne, Velma, and Fred came together during a summer camp adventure involving a mysterious Great Dane puppy. This marks the first live-action series adaptation of the iconic 1969 cartoon, aiming to introduce the characters to a new generation.
Does anyone else automatically hear Gooby-Doo in their head when they hear that music? I do. I just said the same first thing.
Gooby-Doo. I
popped in my head.
Gooby-Doo.
Yeah. That's it.
Shaggy.
I love the series. I don't love live-action, but, what are you going to do? Yeah.
As long as Scrappy-Doo is not in it.
No. Oh, 100%. If I had the bell, I would ring it. Oh, my goodness, yes.
I don't know where it is.
It's under your coat. There it is.
Thank you.
There you go.
No Scrappy-Doo. No.
A couple days ago, Marvel Studios officially announced the cast for the upcoming film for Avengers Doomsday. It's going to be released
five-and-a-half-hour live stream.
It
was.
Every 15
Ridiculous.
Minutes, they just showed another chair, a director's chair.
Right, with a name on the back.
With a name on it.
They have a condensed version if you want to go look at it. Some of the returning names, Robert Downey Jr., of course, he's already been told he was coming back.
He actually was there in person.
Iron Man is dead.
He's not coming back as Iron Man.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No.
It's going to be Victor Von Doom.
Others, Chris Hemsworth coming back, Anthony Mackie, Sebastian Stan's coming back. There is also some exciting new characters that they teased on there.
Stop.
Hey, I just don't want to spoil it.
No. X-Men.
All the X-Men are coming.
Okay.
But they're Bryan Singer's X-Men.
X-Men, not the first-class X-Men.
Okay. So any old actors? Any other
very
old actors?
Yeah,
Patrick Stewart's really old.
Oh, Patrick Stewart?
Mm-hmm.
Ian McKellen.
Huh.
Kelsey Grammer.
Why?
It's
I don't remember Kelsey Grammer being in Marvel. When was he in Marvel?
He was in the third one.
He was just his voice.
Oh, he was in it.
Oh, they
okay,
motion captured
I have no
Kelsey
memory of
Grammer?
That.
Oh, he had he had prosthetics and stuff on.
And blue.
He was blue.
Okay. All right.
Ladies, do you know what we're talking about?
No clue.
Now, here's what I'm hearing.
I hear Charlie Brown. Wop, 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 wop.
All right. Well, I'll move on to something you'll know.
All right.
All right. CBS is reportedly developing a new Yellowstone spinoff. It's going to center on Casey Dutton. Portrayed by Luke Grimes, this procedural series is expected to delve into Casey's life after departing the Dutton family ranch. It looks like Kelsey, is her last name Asbill? I'm going to go with Asbill. And Breck and Merrill, they're Monica and Tate. They're supposed to come back. Although there is a little bit of a development, it sparked a dispute between Paramount Global and NBC Universal over streaming rights. as NBC Universal holds the exclusive streaming rights to Yellowstone on Peacock until 2029.
So okay, all right.
They don't know where it's going to be on.
This is where Mark gets off here.
Casey came out of that whole thing smelling like a rose. Can I just say that? Like, he struck the deal that sold the ranch, and then because of the deal, oh, by the way, we're going to slice off 70 acres on the backside of the ranch that's already got a pre-existing beautiful log home with a beautiful view of the mountains, and that's what you get to keep, Casey, at no charge. I mean, that guy came out smelling like a rose. So you could tell they were setting that up for the next series.
I kind of lost interest in that show.
Okay,
I was addicted
for
a while.
I know, I haven't watched over now. So.
Yeah,
I just never did it.
When they killed Costner,
like, I didn't even know they sold off the property. Mm-hmm. Way to spoil it.
It's been out for a while, Kim.
It's been out for a long time. I'm not spoiling
how
that for anybody.
Time has to
you
pass?
Haven't watched Yellowstone
how much time
at this
has
point?
To pass did before you can Kevin... officially say what happened? Like, can I spoil Beauty and the Beast for someone? It's been like 30 years since that came out.
It's come out. Kendrick Lamar's Super Bowl halftime show on February 9th sparked significant controversy, leading to 125 complaints filed with the FCC. Apparently, 100 of those were from Drake. That's a joke. Viewers nice. Cited several concerns, including provocative dance moves and perceived anti-American themes. A particular point of contention was Lamar's performance of Not Like Us, a track containing lyrics that many interpreted as a direct diss towards fellow rapper Drake, including alleged allegations of pedophilia.
A minority.
Oh, my God.
I'm just so happy that we have some really wholesome, family-friendly performers that we can air primetime TV when families sit down together and watch a sporting event.
Yes, to watch
just make
men,
you happy?
Men bush into their heads and get CTE. So. Yeah.
Football,
what are you talking
what?
About? We're criticizing the music, not the game.
Come
okay.
on,
Carl.
I'm sorry.
Back off.
Sue, this one's going to affect you. Mega Millions is set to revamp its game starting April 8th with notable changes aimed at enhancing player experience. The ticket price will increase from $2 to $5 per play, marking the second price adjustment since the game's inception over two decades ago.
Oh, but you missed the most important part of that story. They're going to reduce the odds to make it a little easier to win from 1 in, what, 320 million to, like, 1 in 295 million.
Wait, Sue, you're
I've
a big lottery player?
No, he
says
not.
Not
at all.
Not at all.
Not
okay,
at all.
So, yeah.
Never.
All right.
Even
I'm
if
kind of in the same boat.
20 billion, Sue's like, nope.
Oh, so, I'd be in the same. Yeah.
Keeping her
why waste your money?
All right.
Yeah.
And I got one last quick one. Former Cardinal Tyler O'Neill did something amazing yesterday. He hit his 6th. Home run on an opening day.
Yeah, that was cool.
Wow.
So for the last 6 years on opening day, Tyler O'Neill has hit a home run.
Glad we got rid of that guy.
He usually doesn't do much afterwards, but opening day, saying. He is money.
He is money, baby. Money. Glad the Cards won opening day for sure. Coming up, we're going to get to J.J. Carafano, retired Colonel J.J. Carafano, to find out what he thinks about this whole signal mess.
Get more at 971talk.com.